One result of this protracted and closely fought primary race is that every delegate is important now. We don't often hear a lot about Puerto Rico in our daily headlines, but now those 20 delegates mean the island Commonwealth is getting ad buys and visits from the two leading Republican contenders. Remember, Puerto Ricans do not have full voting privileges in Congress, nor do they get to vote for president in the general election. And yet Mitt Romney is making an appearance there today, and Rick Santorum was there earlier in the week. However, his campaigning didn't go all that smoothly. Wednesday, he told the local newspaper El Vocero he supports Puerto Ricans' right to self-determination and statehood, but he said the English had to be, quote, the principal language, quote, in compliance, again quoting, with federal law. Joining us now from San Juan is Sarah Murray, reporter for the Wall Street Journal, and also with us, Francis Negron Mutaner, professor of Latino and Caribbean Studies at Columbia University and director of the university's Center for the Study of Ethnicity and Race. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for having us.
Francis, first, let's talk about this issue of English as the primary language. Are we just talking semantics here? How big of a gaffe is this, if it's a gaffe?
Well, Puerto Ricans have a somewhat vexed relationship, politically speaking, to English. And that has its roots in that when the U.S. Invaded the island and started to take control over the local institutions, one of the first things on the agenda was to make Puerto Ricans speak English. And some of the policies that were produced during that early period, the first two decades of U.S. rule in Puerto Rico, were fairly ill-conceived. I mean, you could have a school in a rural area where a teacher would show up one day speaking English to students that had never heard English at all. So a combination of factors like that kind of policy with the importation of teachers that knew English from the U.S. and a political situation where local people had very little say in the affairs of running the country made English and language more generally a metaphor for the political imbalance between Puerto Rico and the United States.
I see. So it's more symbolic. That's Francis Negron Mutaner at Columbia University. Also with us, Sarah Murray, who's been reporting for The Wall Street Journal. And Sarah, take a listen here to Pedro Pierluisi. He's resident commissioner of Puerto Rico to Congress. And he spoke to CNN yesterday. Here's what he said.
In Puerto Rico, as a matter of fact, we have two official languages, English and Spanish. Santorum's view is a narrow and limiting view of what America is all about.
And in point of fact, there's no rule in the Constitution that requires that you adopt English to be admitted as a new state. And the U.S., again, does not have an official language. But how are Puerto Ricans responding to this?
You know, right, that's absolutely true. There is no rule that you have to, as a state, have an official language. Puerto Ricans were not very pleased by the remarks, and I think that it was pretty clear that there was going to be some ramifications and a little bit of backlash, and I think that's why you saw Rick Santorum come out yesterday and start walking those remarks back. He did some campaigning here, and he walked through the streets and he talked to voters, and afterwards he, you know, kind of had a quick chat with some reporters where he said his words had been maliciously twisted, and he said that Spanish should be the official, should be the language here, but that he believed English should also be taught here. So he kind of toned down that rhetoric a lot yesterday.
Although English is already taught in most places in Puerto Rico. But let me ask you, Sarah, is there a way for Puerto Rico, I mean, you know, this is relatively rare for Puerto Rico to be this important, for those 20 delegates to really be able to make that big of a difference. Could they leverage this into more power on the statehood question?
You know, they definitely are very focused on what these candidates would do for them in terms of statehood and what they would bring to the table in Puerto Rico, because as you pointed out, this is really their only shot at the show. They're not going to be involved in the general election. So that's something that they're keeping in mind. The thing that's interesting from all of the candidates is that they've been very clear to say that, you know, they're not going to support statehood unless it's clear that this is something that the people of Puerto Rico want. And what we don't know is whether there's a plurality of Puerto Ricans that actually want statehood. I mean, the last sort of referendum on this was in 1998, and they fell a little bit short of the 50% mark, and they're supposed to hold another vote on this in November. And so I think that's still the issue that's lingering.
I wonder, that's Sarah Murray of the Wall Street Journal, and we also have Francis Negron Mutaner of Columbia University with us. And Francis, I wonder how much resonance this has, not just with the people of Puerto Rico, as we discussed, but other Latino voters who do have a vote in the general election on the mainland.
Well, I think Latinos in the U.S. definitely pay attention to what happens in Puerto Rico, and if there's any visits of presidents or candidates to other countries. Like sometimes in New York, you have candidates going to the Dominican Republic, for instance. So people do pay attention to that. I don't think, though, that at this point, given the context where there's nothing really at stake in the discussion, people are going to, in the U.S., are going to give very, you know, a lot of importance to this particular conversation. If there's really nothing at stake, if there was something at stake, I think Latinos in the U.S. Would pay tremendous attention to how it unfolded.
That's Francis Negron Mutarer of Columbia University. Sarah Murray, let me go back to you. And what does the horse race look like then? I mean, will Mitt Romney take Puerto Rico, as many people have predicted?
You know, the people that I've talked to still think that Mitt Romney will win Puerto Rico, but it is interesting. I don't think they even expect this kind of rash of campaigning that we've seen in the past few days. I mean, you know, the great thing about Puerto Rico is that they get so few presidential candidates that people just turn out on the street because they kind of want to see what it's all about. But the interesting thing is, you know, Mitt Romney really has a lot of the Puerto Rican leaders on board with him, like Governor Luis Fortuño has endorsed him, and so people kind of think that there's a chance that all of these statewide or these territory-wide endorsements will help him end up winning. But the interesting thing about Rick Santorum is, you know, this is a really Catholic-heavy area, and when you talk to voters, they really like his family message. They really like, you know, his Catholic background, and that's been really resonating with people here. So it'll be interesting to see if that could, you know, equate to a closer race.
That is Sarah Murray, reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Let me give the last question to you, Francis Negron Mutarer. On the question of statehood, where do the votes lie for that? Will Puerto Ricans vote to become the 51st state?
It's hard to predict because every consultation that has taken place to date is a non-binding consultation, and that people, when they vote, they're not only thinking about the matter at hand or the matter that's being asked, which is status. They're also expressing their feelings about the incumbent. They may also be expressing their feelings about local politics. So it's hard to predict, but I would think that because anti-incumbent feeling is fairly high right now in Puerto Rico, that statehood might not reach the 50% that I think the political party in power is hoping for.
Francis Negron Mutarer, professor of Latino and Caribbean Studies at Columbia University and director of the university's Center for the Study of Ethnicity and Race. And we also spoke with Sarah Murray of The Wall Street Journal. Thanks to both of you. If you have a comment, we'd love to hear what you think. 877-8-MY-TAKE.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.